Hello, hello. I wanted to share an email real quick about the last message we posted, Deception in the Charismatic Movement. A lot of people have come out of this, and it's not just the big mega churches. This is also spreading in the small churches almost everywhere. And this person wrote, "So true, if I had not experienced it, I would have had a difficult time believing the depths, the deception, and the manipulation. Watched as the younger generation was sucked right in, as they are so hungry for experience and had set their Bibles aside for new revelations and encounters. Something, too, I have noticed with cults is that they surround the new person and love bomb them and make them feel like they're so special and loved. Perhaps how they get to the older ones that come along. I know I had never felt so welcomed or loved on before. They made me feel so special. The saddest thing, perhaps, are the children that are being raised up in this, knowing nothing different. Today I saw a picture of my previous pastor's young son being prophesied over. Your word on teaching others how to prophesy was right on. Something I could not believe they were trying to teach me, all their formulas in order to prophesy over someone when it was only coming from their own imaginations. So glad to be away, but it has had its effects. My heart hurts for those still entangled. I'm so glad that you're going back over this. Your enthusiasm is also very needed and appreciated. It helps spur us on." She went on, but that's cute. I just wanted to share. I get a lot of those, and it's just sometimes good to share that other people are experiencing coming out of these cults. And we're going to continue Colossians chapter 2. I just told everyone, beware, I might be venting. A lot's been going on, and I'm really warm. So Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1. This is the letter of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 2. Verse 1, he said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have over you." And that word conflict there means a battle. There's a fight. There's a war. And there still is. When he wrote this, there was a battle, and there still is a battle. And it's a battle for our minds. It's a battle for our emotions. It's a battle for our behavior. And he said, "I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh," verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love." And this is one thing. We have each other. Find your people. There's been a great division. And sometimes it's a purge. And sometimes people will wake up and realize that they were deceived. But be thankful the people that God puts around you. They're like the strong, red oaks? They have shallow roots, but there's so many of them that they comfort each other, they gather together. And by having good friendships, it keeps you straight up, yeah. Right? When storms come, sometimes it's just good to have that one or two friend. We don't need a ton of them. But he said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you. Let's look at that word beguile. It means to trick, to deceive, and to deceive by false reasoning. And when you're deceived by false reasoning, you're led astray. You're led away down another path. And a lot of the teachings that we are talking about, they lead you to another gospel, and they lead you to another Jesus. A Jesus that's always victorious. A Jesus that's always happy. A Jesus that's always this and that. And I'm saying, where do they get these verses? Because if you read your Bible, there was a lot of conflict. There's beguiling, and he says in almost every book in the New Testament, they warn about false teachers, and that warning is still true today. In whom are hid all these treasures of wisdom? But he said, beware, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. I want you to know it's not in yourself. Our faith is in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ the Lord, walk ye in him. The devil doesn't want you to receive Christ. And then if you do, he wants you to be beguiled and deceived. And he wants to take your mind and he wants to turn it and twist it and take scriptures and cherry pick scriptures that make the whole context change. And this is what the false teachers do. And what do? They benefit themselves. This does not benefit the people. It benefits the leaders of these groups. Now, there are good pastors, and I want to say, hey, if you're out there preaching the gospel and you're preaching the whole counsel of God, this is a weary time because people don't want to just hear the Bible. They want to be entertained. They want the best musicians. They want the best light show. They want the best hype. They want this or that. They want their ears tickled. But remember, God told us this was going to happen. He said this would be a sign of the end times, that they would not endure sound doctrine. And now they're saying doctrine doesn't matter. Doctrine does matter. And so, verse 8, this is the one I wanted you to see. Beware, lest any man spoil you. That word spoil there means to take captive. Beware lest anyone takes you captive. And what does that mean if you're taken captive? It means to take over your life like a prisoner of war, a slave, or bring you into bondage. The enemy wants you to be brought into bondage in the name of God, in the name of church, in the name of religion. He wants to bring you into prison and captivate us. And this is our conflict. This is our fight. It's going to be a struggle for what truth is and what error is, what the Bible really says. People go, well, I just preach the word. And I would say to you, put down that person's book you're reading. Because people always tell me that they're following a man. And I used to do it myself. I have gotten rid of thousands of books because I thought I was following the Bible too, but it was a man's version of the Bible, and it was conditioning me. It was training me to think the way they wanted me to think, and they would take scriptures out of context and make it say something it didn't even say. This is happening worldwide, and this is the end time deception. This is the end time move of God, so-called, is deceptive, and it's bringing in the Kundalini spirit, which I was a part of this. I thought it was God. I thought it was the Holy Spirit. I was all wound up in it, but if I came out of it, you can too. But it was a struggle. It was a conflict. I had to say all those years that I put in thinking I was being sincere and honest and truthful, I was in my heart, but I was still deceived. I was beguiled, and I was a prisoner and captive of these doctrines. And I was in a lot of these ministries. You guys know a lot of these ministries. If I named them, you'd know them all. I was right in the belly of this. So if I came out, I want to encourage you, you can too, but you're going to have to study to show yourself approved, because we were indoctrinated, and now we have to be deprogrammed. Yeah. It's a deprogramming that has to happen. We're going to talk a little bit about this. But he says, lest you taken captive or spoiled. How? How are we taken captive? By the study that they tell us is reality. In the meetings we'd go to, they'd say, you're healed. You're healed. You cannot say you're sick. You are healed. You are prosperous. You cannot say you're poor. They'd let the weak say, I'm strong. Well, that's true, but you can't build a whole doctrine about one verse, right? But through their philosophy, they would tell you what reality is and say, your reality is you're healed. And Jesus will do no more for you than he's already done. So if you're not healed, you don't have enough faith yet. Do you know what that does to people mentally? That has caused people to forsake God and the Bible and church because they couldn't get that reality of healing. And they were fighting something that they were dealt with maybe through a genetic gene or through something, whatever, and they were shamed in church. Church should be a place that the people come for help. Instead, we got indoctrinated with false teachings. Through philosophy, the study, they say, what is reality? What is reality? Reality, I'm just going to vent on this. I knew I would eventually here, starting off. Somebody very close to me died, and the people that had the funeral And I didn't go to the funeral because I knew they were going to do this. They don't let you grieve. Now, this person was only 38 years old. That's a time of grieving. Yeah. When someone is in an accident and they're gone and it's just like that. It's not a time that we do not acknowledge our emotions. But this is what cults do. They tell you how to feel. This is how you're going to react. This is how we're going to set the stage. We're going to have victory. It's going to be upbeat. You can dance and praise. This is not a time to dance. I'm sorry. This is a time that I lost a good friend. My son lost his best friend. So-and-so. This is not reality. Reality is grief is a part of life. And these cults don't let you grieve. They don't let you acknowledge that you're sick. They don't acknowledge that you need prayer, that you need help. Do you see how bad this is? You say, well, I was in it and I didn't have any of that. It works for me. I had a girl that said, don't teach on this. It works for me. Well, someday it's not going to work for you because you don't work the word like it's some kind of a meh. Oh, the word works. Like it's, I rub the genie and it works for me. How many times have you heard that the word works? No, it's a relationship with Jesus. Amen. It's a simple trust in acknowledging him. He helps us in our struggles. He helps us when we're weak. He helps us. We have to acknowledge that we are weak and he is strong. It's not conditioning us into a whole new reality that is not reality. People that are not in this movement think you're nuts. Yeah. They think you're weird. We worked hard to be weird. I mean, we went to convention after convention, book after book. We did all this to condition ourselves to be this weird. And we're spiritual, and you're not. You're not spiritual because you didn't go to all the conventions. So what does it do? It puts us against them. It's always us against them. Whenever you're in a cultic situation, even political, it's this group against that group. And instead of you should all come together and see who's really controlling things. That's another whole. But anyway, the study of reality, what they say is reality. It's knowledge or values based on reasoning and wisdom of this world. This is not the wisdom that comes from the Bible. And the deceptive part is they use the Bible. And so you think, well, they're quoting scripture. They have to be right. They have to be right. They wrote books. They are on a big platform and they have big ministries. These people are right. God's really with them. Simply, what they're saying is they're held prisoner by false teachings and false doctrines. And what happens is when you're in these certain churches, it's even, I would say, in politics, there's a control of information. Everything is being controlled. There's control of information. There's control over your thoughts. There's control over your emotions. We're going to tell you, you have to be happy. If you're coming to church, you have to be happy. Yeah. I don't like people telling me how to feel. If I feel like I need to cry and someone died, I'm going to cry. I'm going to weep. Because I went through life when my mom died. I didn't know how to weep. I didn't know how to grieve. I didn't know what to do. I was only a teenager. And it came out later in life in weird situations because I didn't know how to grieve. Grieving is a concept in the Bible. They had to grieve. There's a time set aside for grief. But now if you're telling people they can't grieve, it's only a time of celebration. Well, I can see if someone's lived their life and you want to celebrate mom and dad. But if someone's been cut off short in life, this isn't a celebration. This is sadness. Someone just lost their dad. This is a sad time. Who's going to help these people? You know what I'm saying? This makes you crazy. This is crazy making because you're not dealing with reality. Right. And this is what these cults do. They control your emotions and then they tell you how you're going to act, how you're supposed to act. You should never, ever be sick again. The guy that preached that, now he's later up in his 80s. I heard he just got a pacemaker. Let the world know that you have a pacemaker then, okay? Condemning all the other people that had to... Yeah, real close by tonight. Under the mask of fresh revelations, going to the next level, anointings and impartations, new ways to hear God, walk in the supernatural. It's all health, wealth. This is New Age doctrines, and it's mysticism at its finest. Having your own encounters daily. This is what is taking people captive. And whenever someone's in some kind of a brainwashing, it's really hard to get them out. I remember when I was in this and people would talk against my favorite preacher right away, cut him off. Oh, we were trained to cut you off. You're one of those. They condition you, just like they do in cults, that if your family comes against this guru, that you cut them off because they're more important than family. So all these teachings that are so many to even be named. Some more people have asked me this week to preach on decree and declare. I mean, that's just craziness. Little gods running around telling God what to do. And this one person that was, they say they can control the weather. Well, I just want to tell you, she's doing a real bad job of controlling the weather. That's just, I don't even know what to call it. This is taking people captive. They're prisoners of this kind of thinking, and they think they have this authority, and they think they have this power, and then come to church to just have an encounter. Well, you'll have an encounter, all right, but it won't be with God. It'll be with a false spirit, demonic spirits, lying spirits. And they're prisoners of war, carried about by winds of teaching that are demonic. These are doctrines that demons teach. Some would have us believe the greatest revival the world has ever seen is upon us. Some guy called me this week. I want to have a revival with you. And I was like, oh my word. And he's talking about the fire he's carrying. And I was like, I'm not calling you back. Delete. Sorry. I already know about this movement. I've been a part of this for years. Sorry, I told you I was going to be venting. It's been a while. But what does the Bible say? Well, I didn't even finish this one scripture, but then we're going to, beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This is the version of the world. And what is it? Get rich. Have a dream. It's all about you. This is not Christianity. We're supposed to obey God and follow Him. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to help people and serve people. They've turned it into, it's all about you. It's all about your dream. But then they say there's going to be this huge revival that's coming. And what does the Bible say? 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. I wanted to say we can't be shaken in mind what we see going on. We can't be troubled. Grieved in our spirit, we're seeing a lot of this, nor by the word, nor by the letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, by TV. Oh boy, that was great when the devil took the airwaves, the prince of the power of the air. And all you could see 24/7 was all this programming of your mind. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed unto the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the Antichrist. So he's talking about the apostasy, the falling away. We see this now. I'm a part of some of these ministry letters that are talking about this pastor's exposed now, and this one, and that one, and this. I don't even read them. I'm just like, there's so many. I don't even know if this is a setup. If there can't be this many corrupt people in the midst. I don't know, but you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Those letters sure don't encourage you. But here, what is an apostasy? It means it's an enemy of Christ. They say they're coming in the name of Christ, but remember what he said, many will say, Lord, Lord. And what will I say? Depart. I didn't even know you. But they're calling it Lord, Lord. Didn't I prophesy in your name? They're prophesying in his name, but it's not God. So he says there's going to be a falling away from the faith and trusting in the Lord. And now what we have is mysticism, and we have Gnosticism, and we have people trusting in their own works rather than the works of the finished works of Christ. They're under tremendous amounts of works. If they say the wrong thing, they're going to bring a curse on them, right? Like, you're so powerful. And what happens in an apostasy, they serve other gods. They're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saying now all paths lead to God, right? And followers, deceiving spirits that are taught by demons. To be in an apostasy, the falling away, it's straying from the truth, the simplicity that's in Christ. a denial of key Christian truths, like who God is, who man is. They're trying to make man equal with God. Jude 1:3, we are to contend earnestly for the faith. Do you know what that means? Agonize. It means the struggle will be continuous. It's a constant fight against false teaching. Wow. Contend for the faith, the simplicity that's in Christ. We are to take this very, very seriously because this is war. This is a conflict that he said. Many are being taken as prisoners, captive by the philosophies and the fantasies and the false realities that they're teaching that are Christian, which are not Christian. Jude 1:4, certain persons have crept in. How have they crept in? All of a sudden, overnight, this person is huge. Their ministry is huge, especially back in the 90s. These people, who gave them the platform? Who paid for them to be there? Who's in charge of these magazines? They've crept in through television, especially in the 90s. That was huge. Magazines. They come in unnoticed, who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Do you know what that means? They turn it into covetousness. My plane's bigger than your plane. I got this house. I don't even know why you would sit under someone like that.
Right.
You need to repent because you're in lasciviousness. You're boasting.
Yep.
Instead, we've been saying, oh, look at my leader. We want him to have as many planes as he wants. Because he's going to go around the world and preach the gospel. No, it's not the gospel he's preaching. This is hitting real close to home right here. And they deny our only Lord and Master Jesus Christ. How? How are they doing it? They infiltrate. They infiltrate and they corrupt our thinking. They creep in. They sneak in. That word crept in means they slip in sideways. And how do they do this? They imitate the truth. And they imitate the truth by using the truth, but twisting it.
Yes.
That's why it's so hard, because if someone quotes you a scripture, you think they got to be a Christian. I'd always tell my kids, they're Christian. And my sons would go, just because they say they're Christian doesn't mean they're Christian. And I was like, boy, are they ever true. Some of these athletes would get up there and they act like they're Christian, you know. They're apostates. They imitate the truth. They twist scriptures to fit their agendas. They proclaim false visions. Yeah, they're false visions. They're worldly minded, self-satisfying. What are they? Blind guides. Blind guides leading the blind. We're going to have to answer for following these people. I've already repented for doing it, and I keep repenting through all the messages that I preach. I was sincere, and I know there's a lot of other people out there. You're very sincere, you want truth, and now you're confused. You're confused, what is the truth? And some of us that have made it through some of these cults have to be responsible for bringing truth back to some people, because there's not a lot of people that want to do it. We have to deprogram. I had to deprogram myself. Many of the messages I was preaching, I was helping myself climb out of the prison. To deprogram means to retrain, to re-educate. You have to undo the effects that they told me what was reality. They told me certain scriptures were true, and that was all they would base it on. And I actually did backslide. When I was going to these camp meetings, all they ever preached was Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24, Mark 11:20. I thought, if I hear that verse one more time, it said, there's got to be another verse in the Bible. This was in the early 90s. And I was just so turned off. I stayed in the ministry, but I was so turned off by these messages. They were heartless. They were cold. They weren't loving. They were controlling. They were manipulative. They were manipulative. They were trying to reprogram us. And this is, when somebody keeps preaching the same messages over and over and over, and their books say the same thing, that something's wrong. But until Christ returns, our spiritual enemy will be among us. Tares will be among us. That's what the Bible is telling us about. There are tares. Know who the tares are. Know who your real friends are. Know who those that are going to turn on you in a second. Know who's among you. Because it's going to be the tares among the wheat, Matthew 13, 24 through 30, until Christ returns. He's going to let us grow together. He's letting us grow together. Matthew 24, 10, many will fall away, betray and hate one another. Do we see betrayal going on? But if you really love the Lord, you got to love people. 2 Thessalonians, it says a great falling away. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2, Jesus tells us to avoid these men. Avoid them. Avoid their teachings. Avoid false doctrines. Come out from amongst them. Well, that doesn't sound loving. There's more to Jesus than just one side. There's also things God hates. And all these mystical teachers only preach on the love side, but that's a warped side of love. If you only loved your kids and gave them candy, cookies, that's not love. Well, think of how much more God loves you. He's going to give you a balanced diet. We're seeing spinach. It's a spinach message. We're seeing Christians being captivated by philosophies, by politics, to get you pitted one side against the other. And there's definitely corruption everywhere right now. But to hate this side and hate that, it's divide and conquer. If you don't realize the tactics of war, it's divide and conquer. And then the religious cults. Captivated by a famous personality. This is what happened big in the 80s and 90s. I don't know, it's probably still happening, but the cult of personality where everything's built around a man, the platform, it's all about, you can't question anything they teach. Their faith is in a personality who has books and special anointings or visions. That's where I got trapped up. I thought, oh, this guy had 8 visions of Jesus. I'm following him. Well, then I studied each vision. Those were not visions from the Lord because they come against the Bible. To establish an elite class of biblical leaders whose teaching and actions cannot be questioned is to take the first step into cultism. You're following a man. You're following a movement. Followers have to listen to story after story. An experience after these teachers. Just this one woman, she was my friend, and I went to all of her women's meetings, and I taught at one, many of them actually. But I just thought, if I have to hear one more story about her, and this is what they do: they just talk about themselves over and over. It's all about them. It's subtle how they draw disciples after themselves. Story after story, experience, and of course their teachings are all about them. It's all about me. It's all about me. They're prisoners of false promises. How many times, if you just give this amount, you're going to get this back? Well, it's like a hamster on a wheel. It never stops. It's this carrot. The next level. You got to go to the next level. You got to give to that next level. You got to do this. It's a formula that doesn't work. It only works for the person on top of the pyramid. And that's in many ways, if you know what the pyramid stands for. Now, 2 Peter 2, 17 through 19, they're clouds without water. They fail to deliver. And I got to know many of them in the Word of Faith movement, and many of them, they were sick themselves. They were dealing with, and I don't ever condemn people going through stuff. When you're young, you don't get much, but as you age, things happen. And it happened to them as well as everyone else, but they pretended it didn't. So they're clouds without water. They fail to deliver. They promise an encounter with God, but instead deliver an emotional experience or a kundalini spirit. Study the kundalini spirit. I got an email from someone, which I deleted, last week that said, you can't mock the Holy Spirit and come against the anointing. Well, they're not the Holy Spirit, and this is not the anointing. It's a Hindu spirit. The Hindus are doing it. They're falling over, shaking, laughing controllably, and they aren't even saved. And they brought this into the church as a movement. And oh boy, I was right on the front row. It mocks the Holy Spirit, so-called awakenings of electric shock or energy forces practiced in Hinduism that makes you laugh. Of course, you got to get touched on the forehead to fall out. Makes you laugh, shake, weep. Oh, I did it all. Thought I was in the Lord. A religious experience with mysticism at its finest. This is a falling away. Because then you go to the next meeting and you want the next show. This show, this experience has to outdo that one.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but pretty soon you just start getting into experiences and you're wanting encounters and you're wanting it, you're craving it, you're being programmed and you don't even know it. And this is what's making me mad. Hungry people that love God, that are looking for God, have been seduced and beguiled. The deceived believe they can decree things into existence, access heavenly portals, shift atmospheres, and perform greater miracles than Christ. They're all prisoners of a false gospel. Anyone who questions the bizarre manifestations will be accused of having a religious spirit, or you're a hater. Like any other cult, you are the enemy if you question their reality. If you challenge them, they cut you off. The patterns with all cults, they control information. They tell you not to listen to other preachers. They control the information. They control your thoughts. Then they control your behaviors. And they control your emotions. We're only going to have happy thoughts. Think yourself happy. And only be positive. That is not in the Bible. Do you know that? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And sometimes we laugh at destruction and famine. We can laugh because we know that God's in the heavens. But it's not because we're so happy. Actually, we're quite vexed at what's going on in the world. All right, I'm closing it down. Not only we are in a spiritual war, but we're also, many of us are awakening to the fact that we're also dealing with spiritual, physical, mental warfare that's going on in our real world. There's a book out that's been out for ages, The Art of War. And I just wanted to read a few things and just see if this is happening. I think it's happened first in the churches. I do. I think that the enemy came in and he tried to seduce and deceive people in the church and denominations all around to get them away from the Bible, to think the Bible's too hard for you to understand. You have to go through a minister, a priest, or read a book because it's too hard for you. That's conditioning, that you won't read your own Bible. But there's an art of war, and the rules of war, they cut off supply chains. They hit fuel lines. Now, in the Old Testament, the enemies would always clog up their wells. They would throw rocks in their wells so they couldn't have water. One of the first things the enemy does when he's going to bring down a country, they cut off your water. They cut off the supply chains. They hit the fuel lines. They destroy wealth. They disarm the citizens. They affect transportation. They silence important communications. Censorship. We will stop all disinformation. This is very serious, what's happening in our world right now. They create diseases. I'm just talking about what this book says, rules of war. They cause strife and divisions. They insert lies, confusion, and propaganda. This is how Hegelian dialectic create the problem. Then the people have a reaction, and then you bring about a solution that unless you brought the problem, they wouldn't have accepted the solution, but now they want the solution, and now you're the savior because you're bringing in the solution. Warp speed. You're bringing in the solution. I'm sorry, but if you guys don't see through that, you're still a prisoner of war. You're still in deception because the enemy is the devil is the god of this world. And there's corruption on every level. Our trust is in Jesus. Our trust is in his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. And don't let anyone seduce you unto a man, unto a false promise, unto a philosophy, unto a fake reality. When someone dies, you grieve. The Bible says you weep with those that weep. You weep. And when you do it correctly, you will walk through it. If you don't grieve, you're never going to get through it. You're going to end up really mentally disabled in many ways because you can't face the reality that person's really gone. You're going to live in denial, which is a fake. Denial is a part of the grieving process, but you don't stay there. You have to move through all the levels of grief. You get angry. Why did they open the door? Why did they do this? Why are they gone? Why did they leave me? It's all a natural process of grief. And then, of course, then after you go through those levels, which takes time, different levels, people go through different things at different times, then you can move on and you can face, I really loved, and that's why I'm really grieving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You grieve people that you really love. You don't just throw a party and pretend, oh, they're, you know, they just moved on. How selfish it is for you to grieve. Yeah, they're in heaven, but I'm not. Yeah. You're not. We have to grieve. Yes, we're glad they're there. That is our hope. Yeah. But God gave us emotions to deal with now. What are you going to do with them? Stuff them up and just throw a party? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is controlling your emotions. That is witchcraft, I believe. It is not correct. Let yourself feel what God's given you to feel. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time to be sad. There's a time to build. There's a time to tear down. There's a time for everything. In everything, there is a season. But again, the rules of war. Cut off supply chains. Yeah, you better get ready. You better have some water and some food. Hit the fuel lines. Yeah, let's just raise gas prices up really high, maybe till after the elections, or maybe we'll see what kind of goes on here. Destroy wealth. Tax people to the point of where they can't handle. Tax their energy. Tax their gas. Tax their housings. Tax. Keep taxing, taxing. This is an enemy. This is the war of taking down countries. They've done it for over and over, and it works so well, they just keep repeating. It's rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. Disarm the citizens, affect transportation so that you have no security in the planes, in the cars. Now all of a sudden, now everything's being manipulated and controlled. They can hack into vehicles. Now you don't have safety on the freeway. They don't want anyone to... The enemy loves to put fear into people. Fear this. Fear the next this. Here it comes. Here, fear. Run, run, run. But we'll save you. We've got the miracle cure. Silence important communications. So you no longer can see this truth teller that used to be on. Now, where'd he go? Oh, they deplatformed him. Where's he go? Well, we gotta shut them up. Create diseases. Cause strife and divisions. This group can't get along with that group. This group can't get along. If you're jabbed, you can't be around. Well, now they're saying none of that matters anymore. Did you know that? They're changing the rules of everything. It's called chaos. They love chaos. What is it called? Order out of chaos. Strife, and this is as old as war itself. Insert lies, confusion, and propaganda, and then come back and save them all like you're the savior. It's the same one that gave you the problem is going to give you the solution. And what does that mean? Our eyes are on Jesus. We know there's an enemy. We know we're in war, and we do not want to be taken captive in our minds by anyone that's trying to control our emotions, our thoughts, or our behaviors. Amen. We read the Bible for what it says, and we believe it. Amen? Amen? So, Father, we thank you for just giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And I pray that people would share these messages while we still can. There's so many people that are under the delusion of religion, and they're shamed because it's not working for them. They're shamed for this and shame for that, and they've thrown away their relationship with the Lord because it didn't work for them. He never promised us a rose garden. He never told us everything was going to be wonderful. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. In this world, you're going to have persecution. Be of good cheer. I have overcome it. We're going to a place and a time there will be no more devil. But while we're still in this flesh and body, there's going to be a battle. And though our outward man perishes every day, our inward man gets renewed every day. Stay strong in the Lord. Keep your heart in Christ Jesus. Quit following men and follow Jesus. Amen? Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.